What a God. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter number 3. Let's stand together, Matthew 3. Thank you for being in the house, Lord. Thank you for every testimony given tonight. And really all day, seem like God's people have a heart today to brag on the Lord, and He's worthy to be bragged on. He's worthy to be bragged on. Pastor Philbeck would say that we're long overdue giving the Lord the praise. It's deserving to His name, and I believe that tonight. All right, Matthew chapter number 3, we're going to pick up in verse number 7. This is where we were at this morning, and we're in a scene of the life and ministry of John the Baptist. It's a big crowd around him. He's been preaching. There's been converts being made, people repenting of their sin, putting their faith in the Lamb of God that he had come to preach about. Verse number 7 said, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" We'll leave off our reading there tonight. You can be seated. And you pray for us and with us tonight. The Lord be our helper. Heavenly Father, tonight we know we're nothing, Lord, but we know that you are, as has already been testified, the faithful one, the almighty God, and Lord, the one we can lean upon. Lord, when we're weak, Lord, you are strong and you make us strong. Lord, you're not only the self-existent one, but you're the one that we depend upon, Lord, for life and power and strength and help and encouragement. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, you'd help us one more time here in the house of the Lord. We gather our thoughts around this text and around these things you've laid upon our heart. I pray the Spirit of God would be able to move tonight in free course and liberty, Lord, not just in this place, but Lord, in the hearts and lives and minds and thoughts of other places, Lord, where folk are listening, Lord, in on this very message and service. Lord, not just tonight, but in days to come. Lord, we don't know who, Lord, you'll bring by to hear this. And Lord, I pray for every one of them. Lord, should there be a sinner, Lord, headed to hell, Lord, I pray their hearts would be pricked by the message and the seriousness of the matter that is at hand. Lord, we pray for the redeemed of the Lord, Lord, that are gathered in this place tonight. May this message be, Lord, to us a burden laid upon our heart for those that are about us headed, Lord, to, Lord, the wrath and the judgment of God that is to come. And Lord, I pray we'd pray more than we've ever prayed, testify more than we've ever testified, be a light and a witness, and Lord, to stand up to be a light of the gospel, Lord, more than we ever have. Lord, we'll bless you and thank you tonight for all the things you do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. We're centering our thoughts in these days, beginning this morning and in the weeks to come, around the thoughts that John the Baptist lays upon this crowd that has come to hear him preach in this verse. He's interested in reminding them or challenging them to consider who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come. The Lord has directed our thoughts here to this in this Lord's Day to remind us that there is a message that needs to be preached in these days in which we're living, that John the Baptist preached, Jesus preached, Paul preached, and that every real true man of God has preached throughout this church age, and that is that men need to be warned about the wrath that is to come. We think about this tonight just to rehearse some of the things we said, and I'll get right into the thoughts tonight, that John here has in mind for his subject the wrath of God. He says plainly here in his questioning of this crowd, who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come. Wrath meaning violent passion and ire. It deals with a justifiable abhorrence and a punishment for sin. We think about the word wrath, and in terms of the scripture and all the places and all the ways that this theme is brought out in the pages of Holy Writ, We understand that this speaks of God's utter abhorrence of sin, His divine judgment being inflicted upon that offends His law and offends His character, and all the wickedness of mankind for all their ungodly deeds, the wrath of God, my friend, must be poured out upon sin. We think about the wrath of God and this violent passion and ire of our Creator against His subjects that have rebelled against Him and His law. We're reminded, my friend, of this fact, that His wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. And that means simply, as we said this morning, Romans 1:18, your ungodliness and mine. Amen. The ungodliness that is in all the realm of the world tonight. And the wrath of God is against that. Amen. He seeks to judge it. He seeks to punish it. He seeks to deal with that according to His own holy character. And there are people that would say today that God is love. The Word of God clearly defines it. God is love. That God so loved the world, but, amen, there is a side of God in which He is full of anger and full of wrath, and in His holiness has revealed His wrath against all ungodliness. It lets me know that I must proclaim tonight as a Bible preacher, and there's not one of us that is going to get by with sin. Amen. God has never overlooked sin, never will overlook sin. Amen. You and God don't have an understanding tonight. God is a holy God. The Word of God declares that there is wrath. Amen. The wrath of God. John 3:36 said unbelievers live in a state and in a condition whereby the wrath of God in this present time abideth on them. It's not just, my friend, something out yonder. It's not just something against somebody else. My friend, the unbeliever tonight has the wrath of God abiding upon him. We think about this tonight, that John the Baptist is dealing with wrath. But he settled in, and by the way, it was John the Baptist that declared the wrath of God abideth presently upon every unbeliever. But when this crowd came to hear him that day in our text, Matthew 3 and verse number 7, he deals with not a wrath that is abiding right now, though it is, but a treasuring up of that wrath that will be manifest in time to come. For the question is simply this, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? A wrath that is coming, that literally means to be about to be. A man at a time appointed, at a time that is down the road. Amen. This wrath is to come, giving the sense of a necessity that this is something that must come to pass. And though this evening, this Lord's Day, right now in this moment of your life, amen, it may seem to be put on pause. There may seem to be a hesitation. There may seem to be like a sense that you're getting by with your sin. My friend, may I say, according to what John the Baptist said, amen, the who hath warned you to flee the wrath that is to come. Oh, it be in a state of hesitation, though it be in a state, amen, where it has not been fully realized in this moment, mark it down, amen, it is to come, it is sure to happen. Amen, wrath and wrath to come, but we're interested in this question, the word warned, as John the Baptist said, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? A word warned meaning simply to show plainly, to set before the eyes. John is asking them, who is it that has taught you of the impending judgment and wrath of God? Amen. Tell me who taught it to you. Tell me when your eyes were open to the fact that there was wrath that was coming down the road. A word warn means to teach or to instruct plainly. In this word warn, we have learned and uncovered and declared to you this morning that in the scripture it sets forth the idea of one giving caution to someone by way of gentle reproof or a mild rebuke. Amen. It is literally taking the truth of God and declaring it to that one that my friend is an unbeliever, that one that is in sin, that one that is against God, that one that is against godliness. Amen. And warning them by, amen, way of gentle reproof and mild rebuke. In this word warn, we believe tonight that there is an admonition. There's an admonition involved in calling attention to one's spiritual condition and urging them in that wrong path and in that sinful state, urging repentance before God's judgment falls. Who hath warned you, John the Baptist said, to flee from wrath to come? I understand the subject matter that is at hand. It's not pleasant to think about. It's not, my friend, something that, amen, brings a lot of warm and fuzzy feelings. We can preach on the love of God, and we're a love of God preacher. Amen. We preach the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Amen. We preach, my friend, the long-suffering of God, His kindness. Amen. And we magnify, my friend, all those pleasant thoughts that God has revealed to us about Himself in the Word of God, of the same God that declared Himself to be love and to love all mankind. Amen. It's the same God that reveals of Himself in the Scripture, and He is angry with the wicked every day. Amen. It's the same God that John the Baptist is magnified. Amen. That is a God that has wrath that is stored up against the day of judgment. My friend, the wrath of God that is to come, it is, my friend, a subject matter that is weighty and a subject matter unpleasant to our human senses. And yet we're reminded and looked at the illustration this morning, amen, that the Bible said in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things as of things not seen as yet. Amen. And all that warning did when Noah embraced it by faith, amen, it moved him with fear. Amen. He was moved with fear to build an ark to the saving not only of his own life, amen, but of his own family and of anybody that would have listened, of anybody else that would have heeded the warning. Amen. There was a way of escape from the impending wrath of God. Amen. Poured out in Genesis 6 and 7 and 8. Amen. Known as the worldwide flood. Amen. That testifies to you and I that our God is a God that has wrath, and a God that will exercise that wrath against mankind. Amen. Oh, I'm glad by faith I have come to realize, amen, the warning of the wrath of God. Amen. Thank God the warning was declared to me. And if you're saved tonight, the warning was declared to you. Amen. And by faith, my friend, that warning, amen, activated a change in our direction. Amen. We heeded the warning. We bowed our knee. Amen. We got in alignment with God, and by faith and repentance, amen, a great change was made in our life. Oh, somebody ought to shout tonight, amen, for the glorious day that a warning of the wrath of God was delivered to your life. Amen. And the Spirit of God moved on you, and, amen, worked in your life to make a real change. Amen. And so these Pharisees and Sadducees have come to the baptism of John. No doubt in my mind they're looking for an emotional religious high. Amen. They're looking, my friend, or have come because of the excitement that is in the air.
John the Baptist said, you do not need another religious experience. Amen. I'm not handing out an emotional fuzzy feeling to make you feel good about being some kind of good person in your own mind. Amen. John the Baptist said, amen, this thing is real. This thing is serious. This thing is of great importance and a weighty matter. Amen. Before you can get right with God, you must understand, amen, that warning about fleeing the wrath that is to come.
Amen.
Amen. Too many people tonight, they're looking for a religious expectation, a religious experience.
Amen. Right.
People come to church for all kinds of things.
Amen.
Amen. They want handouts.
Yes, sir.
They want the preacher to pat them on the head and pray for them and tell them everything's going to be all right. And I'm not saying there's not a place for helping people that... And we do our fair share of that at times as God leads. I'm not saying, amen, that folk don't need encouragement along the way. We try to be that. And my friend, if you get all of that and you still do not hear, amen, a message of warning you of the wrath that is to come, amen, what good would all the money in the world do you if you still die in your sin and go, my friend, into eternity to face the wrath of God for all time, amen, all eternity forever and forever. Amen, what good would the prayers of a preacher do, amen, if you're not willing to hear and to heed the warning of the wrath it is to come. Amen. What good would a pat on the back and a word of encouragement do? Amen. It may help you in the moment. It may help you for a day. Amen. It may make you feel good for a little while. Amen. But if you don't get saved and you don't get right with God, amen, if you don't repent of your sin and let God change your life, amen, you'll still die in your sin and face the eternal wrath of God. Amen. And so we're starting today the seedbed thought that we want to deal with throughout the month of March on warnings of wrath to come. Amen. Warnings of wrath to come. I believe I'd be accurate, Brother Mark, in making this statement. There is no greater day in these last days of the church dispensation to be warning people of the wrath to come than the hour we're living in right now. It is closer than it's ever been. If you're here tonight and you're lost and an unbeliever, you are closer to hell right now at 6:46 on this Lord's Day afternoon than you were this time on yesterday. You're closer to the wrath of God than you have ever been. Amen. So don't get mad at a preacher that loves you enough to give you a warning.
Amen.
Of the wrath that is to come. I better hurry. We're not going to make it far tonight. Amen. In this text, I would quickly give you three or four things that, amen, that I see in the text tonight that deal with, amen, the warning that John the Baptist is laying upon the lives of these men. Amen. I would say number one, and we kind of already have dealt with it, so I'll mention it. I'll give the point to you, and then I'll just mention a thought. Amen. The seriousness of this warning. The seriousness of this warning. There's something very interesting in the verses as we read them all this morning, verses 7 down through verse number 12. He asked the question in verse number 7, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now he's going to call them to repentance in verse number 8. He's going to rebuke them for some wrong thinking they have in verse number 9. And notice with me in verse number 10 and in verse number 12. Amen. Notice how he brings him back to this picture of the wrath that is to come. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. And notice what John the Baptist said, and cast into the fire. Will you listen to me tonight? That's serious. Fire's a serious thing. He's bringing them to understand what the wrath to come involves. And he's reminding them, he is telling them, he is picturing for them, amen, the divine acts of Almighty God being laid under the root of a man's life, the root of a man's heart, the root of a man's eternal soul, amen, and reminds them that, amen, if they do not get right with God and heed the warning, amen, that their lives are going to be cut down and cast into the fire. Now I'm telling you tonight, hell is a real place. Amen. There is a place that was not made for man. It was made for the devil. And all his fallen following angels that, amen, were plunged into depravity with him. Amen. There is a place that is appointed unto them. Mankind, because mankind chose to follow the devil, and because mankind allowed the deception of the serpent from the beginning to corrupt his thinking against God. Amen. Mankind has been plunged into sin, and now mankind, God, amen, will place those that are rebels against him in that place of awful fire. So I don't like that. I told you this morning, it don't matter what you like. I'm telling you the truth. John the Baptist said the wrath that is to come involves, amen, God laying his axe, amen, down and cutting you down. Amen. And if you're not right with God, the ultimate place that you're going to wind up is in this place of being cast into the fire. He enlarges upon that in verse number 12, whose fan is in his hand. Speaking of Christ, and he will truly purge his floor and gather his weed into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I'll tell you tonight, this warning is very, very serious. We're talking about wrath to come, a wrath of being cast in the fire, a wrath, amen, where the unbeliever, amen, where the rebel, amen, is going to spend eternity, amen, and will burn as chaff in unquenchable fire. Can't put it out. It's not wrath you can get away from. When the wrath falls, when the wrath that is to come begins to take place, there'll be no time of escape. There'll be no ease. There'll be no relaxation there. Amen. Will be nothing but torment forever and forever. When Lazarus died and when Lazarus the beggar died, the Bible said in Luke 16 that the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Amen. With the rich man in which gate, in whose gate, amen, Lazarus begged as it were for the crumbs that fell from his table. And rich man, he died and went to hell, not because he was rich, amen, but because he rejected the law of God. Amen, because he rejected the mercy and the grace of God. Amen, because he did not heed the warning, amen, to flee the wrath that was to come. And so when he drew his last breath in this life, Jesse, when he drew his last breath here, his eyes awakened in eternity, amen, and he bust hell wide open. All of a sudden, he's in a place his money cannot quench the fire. Amen. Now he's in a place, amen, where his status will not quench the fire. Amen. Now he's in a place, dear God, help us. Amen. Where, man, friend, amen, his preeminence, amen, will not help him. He is in a place where the fire is not quenched. The Bible said that he lifted up his eyes being in torment. You know what he wished for? He didn't wish to hold his money in his hand. He did not, Brother Maurice, he did not wish, amen, for his mama to come down and try to ease his burden. That man in the awful, dreadful, unquenchable fires of eternity. Amen. That had deserved punishment for his sin, his rejection of the grace of God. Amen. He was there, and all he desired was for that beggar to come to where he was with one drop of water on his fingertip to cool his tongue for just a split second.
Amen.
I think we forgot, this generation has forgot, there's a wrath to come. When John lays all of this out in context, I don't think, Brother Mark, we have to preach an hour right here. Amen, we probably could. But I believe we're learning from this text the seriousness of the warning. If you're here tonight and you're an unbeliever, what I'm preaching to you is very serious. If you're here tonight and you're a believer and you're saved, can I remind you this is a very serious issue we're dealing with. Our lost loved ones are really headed to the wrath of God. We've reached a place in American Christianity that people want to live like the devil, and when they die, they want to be promoted as though they're an angel in heaven. I don't care if it's your children or my children or your family or my family. Amen. I'm telling you today, amen, it is a serious issue to think about wrath that is to come. Amen. There ain't no preacher can preach you into glory. Amen. There ain't no church. Amen. Can sing you into the pearly gates. Amen. Oh, you say, preacher, why preach about the wrath that is to come? Amen. It is because it is a serious warning. Amen. We're dealing with being cast into the fire. We're dealing with unquenchable fire. Amen. We're dealing with a place that Christ said, and they warmed at not, neither is the fire quenched.
Amen.
Where you burn forever and forever, and there's no annihilation, there's no end to it. You burn and you burn and you burn. Amen. And you burn forever, and the wrath of God is poured out. Amen. Over and over and over throughout all eternity. Amen. The seriousness of the warning tonight. Something this generation needs to be told.
Amen.
Say a word tonight about the source for the warning. Boy, I feel like I'm bogged down. I'm just plowing right here.
Amen.
The source for the warning. Notice what John's question is. Oh, generation of vipers. Notice now, who? Who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come? John here is, and we call this in our study the source for the warning, the seriousness of the warning. But John said, I want to know who cared enough about you to give you the warning.
Amen.
For some of us, it was apparent that was a Christian parent and a praying father and a praying mother and a truly born again parent in our life. Amen. That loved us enough to warn us. Some, it was a pastor, a preacher somewhere, and it crossed paths with your life somewhere, a church service you were in, and a man of God without shame and a man of God without apology, a man stood up and declared to you the wrath it was to come. Amen. Are we not thankful today? Amen. For the who? Amen. For the who that loved us enough warn us to flee from wrath to come. I'll never forget, as I was growing up in a Christian home, a pastor's home, I again, y'all have to forgive me, this thing's got big on me in the last 48 hours. And I ain't going to rush through it. I'm not rushing through it. I remember growing up with Jerry in a Christian home, a young man. Buddy, I remember Daddy preaching and Daddy getting other preachers to come by and preach. Anytime they began to warn and send out the warning, there was a discomfort in my soul. There's an agitation, especially as I began to get older, 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age, and Brother Jack longing to live my life outside of the rules of a Christian home and a Christian family. Amen. The longer I stayed in that state, the more warning was given, the more agitated I become, the more hateful I got on the inside, and sometimes it'd spill out on the outside. Amen. But oh, I'm telling you, at 43 years of age, amen, oh, God reached down and saved me. Amen, saved me in September the 14th, 1996. Amen, all of that changed. The warning was sounded one more time. Amen, my daddy gave it to me one more time. Amen, my daddy didn't compromise. Amen, one more day, but thank God, amen, gave the warning. Amen, so I could have an opportunity to be saved. Who, my friend, who did God bring into your life? Yes. If God did bring somebody in your life and you claim that you're saved, amen, who are you being that voice of warning and reason to tonight for somebody else that is wayward?
Yes.
Amen. Who hath warned you to flee from wrath to come? Who was it that told you about Jesus?
Amen.
Who was it that told you about the old rugged cross?
Yes, yes.
Who was it that told you there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain? Yes. Who was it that, my friend, prayed for your never dying soul? Amen, that knew the shape you were in, that, amen, maybe didn't know all the details, but knew something wasn't right in your life, that knew you needed saving, life-changing grace. Amen, and they stayed on their knees, and they prayed, and they begged God for your soul. Amen, and every time they got around you, they, amen, they were sounding the warning, they were waving a red flag of wrath that is to come. Get saved, escape that judgment. I'm preaching to some tonight. You had a mama that loved you enough, amen, to agitate the fire out of you. Amen. There may be somebody here today, amen, you don't like what your mama says. Amen. All the religious talk and the Bible talk and talk of spiritual things and eternal things. Amen. The best friend you got in this world, amen, is a mother, is a father, is, amen, a friend along the way that my friend wants to talk about eternity.
Amen.
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 Who? Boy, I feel like we parked on something. I got an outline right here. I'm trying to get to. John the Baptist said, tell me who it was that warned you.
Amen.
You see, it's going to have to be a who. The warning has to be sounded if you're going to flee, if you're going to escape, if you're going to, amen, if you're going to abandon this path to the wrath that is to come. Amen, there must be a source for warning. Amen, where the warning goes out. Amen.
Amen.
Let's just see what we do with this. Notice with me the source for the warning. You say, preacher, And we can always deal with the who. Amen. There'll be a who.
Amen.
But what about this? What about the word?
Amen.
Boy, there's so much stupid talk about the Bible in these days.
Amen.
Ideas people have about the Word of God. Amen. This book is greater than Shakespeare and all the literature and things that are promoted to in educational centers. This here has the words of life.
Amen.
I like Psalm 19. It magnifies the word and the testimony and the statutes and the judgments of God. It's one of the greatest psalms you'll ever read. And in that, David declares that the word of the Lord is perfect. It's established that. And because it's perfect, it's able to convert the soul. In verse number 11 of Psalm 19, you write it down, look it up when you get home. Here's what David said, by them, that is the words of God. Amen. The commandments of the Lord, the pages of Holy Scripture, by them is thy servant warned. That's why some of y'all don't like to read your Bible. Every time you pick your Bible up, it tells you you're in bad shape. You don't want to hear how bad a shape you're in. You don't want that warning sounded. You want to feel good, amen, about living in sin and living in secrets, amen, having all these things piled up in your life, amen. And the source of the warning from the warning about the wrath to come, you'll never have that warning given without the Word. Amen. There's a generation that has arisen that hates the Word of God. Amen. Everybody okay? I'm off the radio now. Amen. I'm going to pin my ears back. I was trying to pin my ears back when we was on the radio. Amen. I feel it coming on. Look with me in Jeremiah 6. I may not get no further than this. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Notice with me in verse number 10, this is the Lord speaking now. If you're there, say amen. Amen. To whom shall I speak? God said, I want to speak. I want to talk to somebody. Notice what he said. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear. In other words, Brother Jack, the Lord is saying, I have a desire to warn people. Hallelujah. God is saying in His love, God is saying in His grace, I desire that there would be somebody that I can speak to, somebody that I can lend my voice to, somebody that I can go down and converse with and not make them feel warm and fuzzy, but that somebody that is lost and somebody that is in ruin and somebody that is wayward, somebody that I could go and give warning that would be willing, a man is willing to hear as I am to speak. It's what God's question is. Are you with me? But notice what God says is a sad answer that He makes to His own question. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. Here's their problem. Everybody listening, everybody listening. They have no delight in it.
That's the problem.
You know why you get agitated at this kind of preaching? I know it's tough. I know, and I am intentionally, because God put it on me thick, I intend on preaching it as strong as the Holy Ghost will let me. Do you know why we're in a generation that is not interested in God speaking to them? Do you know why He's speaking and willing to give a warning and pleading somebody who would hear it? Do you know why they can't hear it? They have an uncircumcised ear. They have a worldling ear. They have an ear that does not hear the decibels at which God speaks to the heart. Decibels. I think that's the word I'm looking for. They can't hear the tone of God when his voice comes by. You want to know why? Because their ears uncircumcised.
Right. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know what's amazing? They hear what all the country music stars sing.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, you get a joy out of that. That's your delight.
My.
But you never hear what God has to say.
Amen.
Oh, I'm preaching up a storm. They have no delight in the word of the Lord.
Amen.
They'll make statements, well, I just can't understand it. No, you reason you can't understand it, you don't delight in what that book has to say.
Amen.
God is saying, I wish there was somebody in the land. There was somebody, amen, to whom shall I speak? I want to talk with somebody. I want to rescue somebody. I want to give the warning out to somebody. I'm going to do it through my word. But if you won't hear what that book says, all 66 books and every page in those 66 books of your King James Bible, if you will not delight in that, you can mark it down. You will miss out on the greatest source of warning and life change that could ever take place in your life.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. An uncircumcised ear, an ear that has not been cut off from the world, an ear that only hears what it wants to hear.
That's it.
I'm preaching tonight. I'm preaching tonight. You see all your little buddies you got at work and all your little backslid and carnal family members that have gone into sin. They're telling you, oh, it ain't all that bad. It ain't all that bad. You listen to me. That Bible's true. And if it ain't true, let's rip it up and let's live it up and let's party it up. Amen. If what I'm preaching tonight ain't true, they ain't one word in that book that's true. But it is true. It is true. And God wants us to be warned. He wants to give a warning. And one of the sources that He uses to warn us is the word.
Amen.
The who, the word. I don't have time to preach it tonight. We could talk about the watchman. Ezekiel chapter 33 verses 1 through 7. God brings Ezekiel into a vision and says, Ezekiel, you're the watchman on the wall. Ezekiel, the watchman that sees the enemy is coming, blows the trumpet and gives a warning. He said, if they don't heed the warning, they don't listen to the warning, they are slain by the enemy, their blood is going to be upon them. He said, but Ezekiel, if you as the watchman or any other watchman, a man is on the wall and sees the enemy coming, and you do not sound the trumpet of alarm and you do not give the warning, and the enemy comes in and they face, amen, they face a slaughter and their blood is shed. He said their blood is not going to be upon them. Their blood is going to be upon the watchmen. Amen. And I say tonight, thank God for the watchmen on the wall. Ezekiel 33, 1 through 7. You'll see it again in chapter 3, 18 through 21. This was Paul. Amen. This is the way Paul practiced ministry. Acts 20 and verse 31. He said, we cease not day and night by the space of 3 years to warn you with tears. A watchman, a preacher, as a watchman, a man of God that, my friend, loves souls enough not to tell them how to live their best life now, but to warn them of wrath to come. Amen. It's illustrated with Elisha. You can read it in 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12. The king of Syria come into the land to invade and to do Israel harm. The king of Israel made up his mind where he was going to camp. The man of God sent word, said, don't you go past this point. The Bible said he gave warning to the king of Israel. The king of Israel heeded that warning. The Bible said his life was not saved once or twice. He was saved more times than the king could count because of the warning of a watchman that cared enough about him to say, there's the line, don't go past that. That's where wrath abides.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I could preach. The word, the who, the watchman. Notice the witness. The witness. It's amazing to me, I'm done right here. Amen. It's amazing to me that John, in speaking of the warning, brings men in verse 11 to the Lord Jesus Christ in the ministry of the Spirit. He said, I'm baptizing you with water. There's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. I'm not worthy to even bear. Amen. I'm not even worthy whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
Speaking of the ministry of the Spirit of God whose fan is in his hand. That work of the Spirit of God is a fan blowing upon a man's life. Amen. In studying this, I want to be careful. Y'all know I'm not a charismatic at all. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter number 10 of Cornelius and how the Lord gave him a vision. Cornelius was a man that, though he was lost, he was deeply and sincerely interested in spiritual things. God knew that about Cornelius, and God was going to make sure he got him a gospel witness. Amen. Verse 3 of Acts chapter number 10 said, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. This vision is given. He's opened up where he is now able to see into a supernatural dimension. Don't get weird on me. I ain't no charismatic. And I'm not saying that this happens in this form and fashion this way. But this is how it came to pass. In Acts 10:22, Cornelius has sent some men to go to Peter to bring Peter back. That's what God had commanded him to do. And they find Peter, and Peter begins to talk to them and ask them, what is the cause whereof ye are come? Verse 21, verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, listen to us, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. They said, Cornelius was warned of God. Peter said, well, God told me you was coming, and so we're going to go. And they leave on the next day. Peter gets down to the house of Cornelius, and having made that journey, and he begins to communicate with Cornelius, and it doesn't take Peter long to fire up preaching a lick, and he magnifies Christ. He tells him, you need to repent of your sin. He begins to just preach the gospel to them. Amen. The Bible said in verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amen. My thought is this, that though he was warned from God by an holy angel, I don't think I have any problem making this statement. It was the Holy Spirit that opened his eyes to see, his ear to hear, and his heart to receive.
Amen.
God let him see into another dimension. God let him see spiritual things that the natural man in himself is not capable of seeing, hearing, and receiving. It's an interesting illustration to go along with this in Matthew 2:12. And also in verse 12, Matthew 2:12, deals with the wise men that had come to Bethlehem to see the baby Jesus. Herod, they'd run into Herod along the way, told him why they'd come, and Herod said, well, when you find him, let me know where he was. I want to worship him too. He did not have good intentions. And so they come to the place where Jesus is, and they bring their gifts, and they spend time with him. The night before they was getting ready to leave, the Bible said, and being warned of God in a dream. God told them, said, don't go back to Herod. You go and you leave out of this country a different way. How did they know that? God warned them in a dream. How many of y'all say, man, our pastor's not a charismatic? In Matthew 2 and in verse 22, Joseph has been warned of God about where he is to go. The whole idea of Herod being mad, he's going to slay all the babies, said, and he doesn't know all that is coming down the line, except for God warned him in a dream. Now, if you don't agree with me, and I won't be too dogmatic about this, I think I can bear it out through Scripture. How did they see those dreams? How did they receive the warning of God by way of a dream? I would submit to you, it was the work of the witness of the Spirit of God giving them warning. See, we're not charismatics. We don't believe in running around, I had a dream, I had a dream, I had a vision, and live your whole life on dreams and visions. But I will tell you this, you let the Holy Spirit go working in a sinner's life, he will begin to reveal things to them they could not otherwise see apart from his witness and work in their life. Let me illustrate it in my own life. Now, I'm not a charismatic. Now, don't you go out here and say, my pastor has lost his mind. He is a charismatic. You'll be lying. But when God began to send the warning to my life that I was lost and wrath was to come, I can remember nights being a teenage boy. I would have dreams that the rapture took place and mom and dad was gone and I was left behind. You know who done that? You'll never convince me otherwise. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, while a sinner's sleeping, the Spirit of God can still be working.
Yes, sir.
There would be times I'd awake in the middle of the night and I would be overwhelmed by messages like you've heard today about wrath to come. And the Spirit of God would make hell so real, as though, I'm not a charismatic, Brother Larry, don't you tell them I am. But in them days, God would work in my life by the Spirit of God giving warning where I could almost smell the smells of hell. I could almost envision myself getting thrown into that place. Are you listening? So that's spooky stuff. You call it what you want. It is the work of the witness of God that when the who and the word and the watchman have been doing their part, the Spirit of God comes to you and they ain't none of that around, ain't none of that being preached, and He begins to work in the life of those who need warning.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
To drive home the truth. He'll do it in dreams.
Yes,
amen.
Not charismatic visions, but He'll let you begin to envision things the natural man does not even want to ponder. The source of the warning. Amen. Well, do we need to end there? That's a bad place to end, ain't it? I may come back and we'll preach this again. Let me say a word about the simplicity in the warning. I love this, Brother Mike, because when John the Baptist throws this question on them, here's what he said. Who hath warned you to what?
It's simple. The simplicity of the warning is you need to flee the wrath that is to come. That word flee means to escape or to run away. To run. To get up and get on the move and get out of Dodge and get out of the way. John the Baptist called them, "O generation of vipers." Why did he do that? Well, it speaks of the poisonous religion that they bore about throughout the land that wasn't helping anybody, was killing them and taking them to hell. But it also speaks, when it bears out, you come to verse number 12 about the husbandman gathering in his wheat and garnering bringing the wheat and garnering it and taking the chaff and piling it up. They would bring that wheat in from the field and they would throw it up and they would get the chaff broke away from the wheat. They would take the fruit of the wheat and they would store it in the storehouse. They would then take the chaff and all the stems and all the waste. They would collect it up and pile it up. The time would come, the harvest would all be reaped in, and all that had to be garnered would be in the storehouse. They would then go out and they would light all that chaff on fire. But the problem is, the longer it sat there, the serpents would come and would make their way to where the pile of chaff was. And they said when they would go out and they would set them things on fire, then vipers would take off running, trying to find some sort of refuge from the fire that had just been lit. And I tell you tonight, the only hope of missing out on the wrath that is to come is to flee. Flee means I'm leaving something. Flee means I'm running from something that is useless. I'm running from something where the fire and the wrath is going to catch up to me. But the word flee, Brother David, it doesn't just mean to run away, but it implies that you're running to something. You're running to a refuge. You're seeking shelter. Amen. In somewhere where to be safe. Somewhere where the fire cannot touch you. Oh, I could preach tonight. Amen. I'm glad when the Spirit of God came in and the warning was sounded and I realized that I must run and I must flee. I'm glad I found a good refuge in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I thought about this word flee. I thought about it. I'm out of time. I know I got to quit. I'm just trying to find a decent place to land where we don't go all out of here. Amen. All bruised and battered and weighted down and can't have a good week. But I thought about in the Old Testament what the Lord established in Israel known as the cities of refuge. If a man slew a man in the way, law condemned him to be a murderer. And the family of the man that had been slain were called the avenger or the revenger of blood. It was their legal right to take eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The revenger of blood had the right to hunt him down and to take his life. Oh, God said, "I want you to build 6 cities across the land." Amen. That when that man realizes what he has done, he realizes the revenger of blood has a right to take his life, that man can run. In fact, the Old Testament said, amen, he can flee unto one of those cities. Amen. He can run and he can call out to that city and the keeper of the gate and cry and speak for mercy, and that those in that city would receive him in. Amen. And there in that city of refuge and he can flee to. Amen. He can escape the wrath of the one that sought vengeance against him. Amen. And I say tonight, I'm glad one day I ran to the cities of refuge. Amen.
Amen. I was condemned to death. I was guilty. I was the one that, amen, the revenger of blood can exact, amen, all of his wrath upon. But I'm glad in Jesus I found a safe refuge. Place, thank God, the fire can't touch me. Glory to God, a place. Amen, a place that, amen, I'm safe, I'm sound, and I'm secure eternally. Amen, never to know the wrath of God against my sin. Oh, bless His name. Bless His name. I'm glad it ain't hard. I'm glad, my friend, in the warning it's simple. Amen, flee your sin and flee, amen, those things that you have found shelter in, and run to the one that can save your life. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to quit. I can't quit. Amen. If you need to quit, you can tap out and go home. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Amen. Romans 5 in verse number 8 said, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Glory to God. I'm glad tonight I've been saved. I've been saved from wrath. I've been saved, thank God, way. As I ran to Jesus one day, amen, I fled to Him. I came to His blood. His blood, my friend, is the shelter of my never-dying soul. Saved from wrath. Not through good works. Not through water baptism. Not by the prayers of a mama. Saved from wrath through Him.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. I'm glad it's simple.
Amen.
See, how simple is it? It's as simple as you getting sick of your sin.
Yes.
Getting sick of the agitation, sick, amen, of what it means if you die in your present state. Amen, and I'm glad Jesus is attainable. I'm glad He's accessible today. Amen, He is a mediator between God and man. Vengeance belongs to God. It's His right to throw you in hell. It's His right to pour the wrath of God out upon your life.
Yes,
sir. It's His right to do that. Amen. Your sin nailed His Son to a tree.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You are guilty of the death of His darling Son.
Yes,
sir. It's His right to be the avenger against your life. And He is a just God. Every sinner that dies, the wrath of God is poured out upon them in hell. Amen. He is still as just and holy and fair as He has ever been.
Yes,
sir. It's His right to do that.
Amen.
Thank God He made a way.
Yes.
He made a way. The simplicity in the warning. Can I give you one last thought? Here I go getting to the heavy stuff again. I feel led to say it tonight. I see in the text the struggle with the warning. You see, John the Baptist got a view, a spiritual view, Riley, into their mind and into their thoughts. He said, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? He said, what you don't understand, you need to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. Notice, here's the struggle. He said, and say not within yourselves, we have Abraham, our father. There was a struggle when the warning went to them. There was a struggle. Don't miss it now. The struggle was within. There was something on the inside of them that rose up against the warning.
Yep.
Amen.
You see, some of y'all think your parents are your problem, or your preacher's your problem, or your church is your problem, or, amen, we could go on and on and on.
The problem is not anything to do with those people. Your problem is the struggle within you.
Amen.
Amen. Something on the inside don't like to be told you're wrong.
Amen.
Something on the inside that don't like to hear, stop what you're doing.
Amen.
And what they did, notice the struggle, he said, and say not. What were they saying? We have Abraham, our father. Oh, don't miss this, Lucas. Don't miss this. They thought little of the warning because they thought too much of themselves.
Amen.
Oh, we can see how these common people out here need to hear this. Now, they didn't say it out loud. They were saying it within themselves.
Amen.
John the Baptist said, don't say that within yourself. If you're going to flee the wrath to come, you've got to win the struggle that's going on the inside.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
So long as you think, well, this ain't all that bad, and the way I'm living, it ain't as bad as so-and-so, that's not the standard. God don't say, well, I'm not as bad as Jesse. Ledbetter ain't as bad as Jesse, so I'm not going to deal with Ledbetter and bring wrath upon him for his sin. That ain't how it works.
Amen.
Remember Romans 1:18, his wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. And when you start justifying because you think too much of yourself and the way you want to live, and some pedigree, that's what they were arguing, or some understanding you think you and God have, that is a manifestation of the struggle that goes on inside of every human being.
Amen.
When the warning is given, and they're brought to a crossroads, am I going to flee? Am I going to flee the wrath to come? Or am I going to stay here in my rebellion? You got a choice to make. You got a choice to make. I know we're long tonight. Amen. I've gone so long, my watch batteries quit working. Amen. Amen. We're preaching on the sundial right now. And it's way down. It's going to be a while before we get back online. The struggle's real. You take a man with that struggle on the inside of him, he'll fight everybody around him.
That's right.
He'll fight everybody around him that just simply loves him or her enough to give them the warning.
Yes.
Amen. So, no, it ain't that bad. You do remember this is the same man they cut his head off.
Right.
Herod said, I'm sick of him talking to me about warning me of wrath to come. Flee my sin. That struggle inside of Herod got so bad, the only resolution he could find was to cut John the Baptist out of his life completely.
Amen.
And hell is and will evermore be full of people who did not realize the struggle inside of them was destroying people on the outside who simply loved them enough to say, better think about eternity. Think about your soul. Think about where you're going to spend it. Think about your relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I ain't trying to be ugly. There are parents in this building tonight whose own flesh and blood children can't even stand to be around them. And they're some of the most precious people in the world. But you know why they don't want to be around them? Because they have such a battle going on the inside of them. The mere presence of being in the company of their parents, their own flesh and blood, drives them literally spiritually insane. They won't cut their head off. If they could get by with it, they would. they could cut their tongue out of their mouth and not go to prison, they would do it. Because they're eat up with so much struggle on the inside, justifying themselves in their own thoughts, in their own eyes, in their own admonitions. No regard for God and His Word whatsoever. Until a man or woman or a young person wins the battle, wins and gets victory over that struggle within them, they'll never heed the warning. Who has warned you to flee from wrath to come? Well, how'd we do today?
Amen.
Everybody okay?
Thank you, Brother Jeff.
I'm going to tell you something. It's heavy. I know it's heavy. Y'all know me, man. I like to preach rah, rah. Jesus is good and Jesus is real good and Jesus is really, really good. And we go into heaven and everything's going to be wonderful. But it ain't if you're not saved.
Amen.
Some of y'all got some things you need to flee. Y'all hear how quiet it is? That ain't just everybody's tired and done, ready to go to the house. That right there, I know good and well what that is. Some of y'all got some things you better flee. Things nobody else knows about. God knows about it. You playing games with the wrath of Almighty God. Ain't going to end well. You do well tonight to lay the struggle down. Flee to Jesus. Accept His free gift and pardon for your sin. I believe it so much, I preached it all day. And next Sunday you come back and I'm going to still be preaching. There are warnings that need to go out of wrath to come. We're standing together. You come to the piano, please. Amen. I don't know what God's done. I know I've gone a little while. I'm not too awful bothered by that. I'm not too awful bothered by it. We need to do business with God.